Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ed Ackerley. You know, Jump in Tucson, we started a couple of weeks ago, is a unique format with a different host covering a wide range of topics. I host Monday for Wonder, the good things happening at the University of Arizona. Tuesday, General Ted Maxwell hosts the Engagement Hour. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger talks about food and politics. And on Thursdays, Tom Moulton talks about the great visitor attractions in Tucson. And then on Fridays, I talk about success stories in Tucson, businesses, organizations, individuals that have done good things for the city of Tucson. So it's been a great first couple of weeks, and we appreciate all the good feedback that we've gotten from so many people. Speaking of Ackerley, since that's my last name, our first guest today is Chris Ackerley. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Well, how are you today?
Doing well. Doing well.
Yeah, I know you.
Yeah, we've met before. Yes.
Yeah. So, as people may know, you are the deputy Pima County treasurer, Pima County deputy treasurer. I guess is how you say that.
Chief deputy treasurer.
Chief deputy treasurer.
Beth doesn't like me to forget the chief.
Oh, I like the chief part of that. So, what does a deputy treasurer do first, and then we'll talk a little bit about your journey. So, what does a chief deputy treasurer do for?
So, the treasurer's office is one of the countywide elected positions, and everybody probably knows that they are responsible for collecting property taxes. That's the not so fun part of the job. But the other task of the treasurer's office is essentially it operates as the bank for both Pima County and all the 77 jurisdictions that fall within Pima County. So school boards, fire districts, water districts, all of the different political jurisdictions. We essentially operate as the bank for those. So effectively, the treasurer is the president of a small credit union, has about $1.5 billion to $2 billion on deposit at any given time. Mm-hmm. And we process about $100 to $200 million worth of transactions every week.
Well, that's fantastic. And you get to oversee, you get to watch that.
That was a surreal experience the first time that I hit the button on a $100 million plus transaction, yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, let's talk a little bit about your journey. You know, I know your journey because you're my nephew, but what is your journey? You started out as a teacher, correct?
Yeah, so I am a high school physics and math teacher. Was in the classroom for 22 years. Took a little detour into politics. Got involved in...
Yeah, thanks. I hold you responsible for for my detour as well.
Got involved at my school district level and served in leadership positions both in my local professional association and the state professional association. And then I got this idea, well, I ought to run for the legislature if I'm going to really make an impact. And so in 2012... I contacted an ad agency that I knew and said, hey, would you help me get elected to the state legislature?
Well, you know, I have to butt in there and say that my dad, when he was alive, always made the pledge that he wasn't going to work on Sundays and he was never going to do politics. And so he never did politics until the day that you walked in the door as his grandson saying, hey, would you help me with my campaign? So we acquiesced for you. And then the wheels came off the wagon after that.
So got elected to the legislature in 2014, served a term. It was an awesome experience, learned a lot, and I think I did well. I represented all of Southern Pima County and Santa Cruz County, I'm a public servant, right? I'm a high school teacher for 22 years. Reason I got involved in politics was education. The legislation that I sponsored and worked on at the state legislature dealt with education and trying to make government work more effectively for the communities I served, for Green Valley, for, you know, Santa Cruz County, as much as I could for Pima County, although that sometimes gets difficult. But but those were the things that I worked on. It wasn't the screaming from the podium at all of the social issues. It was working on making government work effectively. And so 2 years ago, when Beth Ford, who is the current treasurer, who is serving in her sixth term. So this is her 24th year in the position. She is the last standing countywide Republican. Obviously, Steve Christie is a Republican on the board, the lone Republican on the Board of Supervisors. But as far as the countywide offices, Beth is the last standing Republican. About 2 years ago, she approached me and said, physics, you can do the math. I can teach you the accounting, right? Why don't you come on board, be my chief deputy, and run for the position when I retire? And so I thought about it, and obviously my passion is education, but the reality is of that $2 billion that we hold, actually the majority of it is not the counties, mm-hmm. but actually it is the school districts.
School districts, right.
And so still involved in education, right. Still meet monthly with the school business officials. Feeds into my passion. It has been an absolutely fun job. And I stress that it is a job. I mean, it is a full-time job. This is, as I said, Beth operates as the president. I essentially operate as the VP of a small credit union. So it is a full-time job.
Well,
I'm excited about the possibility of taking on the top spot.
Right. Well, you know, your expertise in politics has just been instrumental in so many other people running for office, including myself. You know, the two times that we ran for mayor, you were an integral part of that whole process. Speaking of accounting, you were the one that was helping do the reports for the city clerk and so forth. But just your acumen and understanding of what is happening on the political scene and how that all works and who the players are and the relationships that you've built has just been amazing. And I will just say that I was up at the state capitol and the governor stopped by to say hi to me, and she mentioned to me that how proud she was of you, and that even though she was a Democrat and you're a Republican, when they were in the legislature together, that she always came to you to ask you what was in the bill, because nobody read the bills. They just came over to see Chris and asked Chris what was in the bill.
I did read everything that I voted on. Yes, that was, and sometimes that can't be said for all of the members up there.
Well,
that's
a good thing when you're the chief deputy of the treasurer and you're looking at all that those billions of dollars. It's good to have somebody that's attentive to the detail. Well, we'll continue talking about your run for treasurer, and we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. We're talking with I'm Dr. Ed Ackerley. We're talking to Chris Ackerley on the Friday version of Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm Ed Ackerley. Our guest this morning is Chris Ackerley. We also have Josh Velderain, who is from Giuseppe's, who stepped into the studio. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, good morning to everybody.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit, Chris, about your run, your declaration of running as the treasurer for Pima County, and your decision to move forward and see if you can claim the top spot after at some point when Beth steps aside.
Yeah. So I am running for treasurer at countywide seat in 2024. Like I said, this is an administrative position. The treasurer does not get to set a whole lot of public policy, but it's really important that person has the experience to make sure that the office is managed and managed well. There are some significant challenges. If you go into them, people's eyes start to glaze over because they involve software conversions and IT issues and payment processing and all sorts of stuff like that. But as a guy who made it my life's work to teach people how to solve problems, I'm actually really enjoying it because that's what it is. It's problem solving. So elections are simple. You got to convince 10,000 people to sign your petition, raise $1 million, and get everybody to vote for you. Well, all right, I'll settle for a few less signatures than that. We do have the signatures at the minimum amount of signatures right now, but when you submit signatures, there's always the possibility people will challenge it. So,
oh yes, we've been down that road once or twice. We know that.
So
story.
We want to make sure that we have enough to ward off any challenges. So if you're a registered Republican or independent, I'd love you to go online and sign the petition. County positions now can use the eQual system through the Arizona Secretary of State. So if you hit my website at chrisackerly.com or go to the Secretary of State's site and do the eQual system, you can sign the petition online. Obviously, love monetary contribution because campaigns take money. We will be holding a kickoff event next Tuesday.
Yeah, I was going to ask you one thing though. On the ballot, is your name listed as John Christopher Ackerly?
It is.
Yeah. So just a little your father, who's my brother, his name is John Keating Ackerly, and he goes by Keating, and your brother, who is my nephew, goes by, his name is William Edward, he goes by Ed, and your name is John Christopher, and you go by Chris, and so...
And so
we need to know that on the ballot, if it does say John Christopher Ackerly...
It says John Christopher. So here's the reason why I do that, and we've had this discussion internally a lot of times, is for my entire life, I have worked for the government, and although I go by Chris...
Right.
I've never had control over over what my actual email address was or what name appeared on my ID badge.
Right.
And so if people had interacted with me only by email, they never knew me by anything other than John.
Right.
So I ended up having to use my full name on the ballot.
Well, that's kind of we have an interesting set of names in the Ackerly family, so it's kind of interesting how we do that. Hey, this event on Tuesday is your official kickoff. It's kind of you've been running and talking to people already and getting signatures and so forth, but this is your first foray into setting your agenda and sharing with friends and family and people what you're going to be doing. So that takes place this coming Tuesday, correct?
Yeah, Tuesday, 4:30 at St. Phillips Plaza in Reforma.
And can just any old person...
We'd love to have you come down and join. And ask me questions about the office and how I intend to keep it running effectively. One of the things that... It's not an office that people think about, because if it's in the news, it's probably not a good thing, because that means something went sideways. So Beth has done a remarkable job of... maintaining a effective and stable organization, and I look to continue that. But there's always ways to improve, and be happy to talk about the come join us on Tuesday, and be happy to talk about one of the things that we need to look to moving forward.
Right. Well, it was nice that Matt just said that the weather on Tuesday might even nudge as close as 80 degrees, so we might be out on the patio. We had set it up when we set up the time. We did it inside, and Grant got us hooked up inside Reforma because we thought it would be cold and rainy like it has been the last few days, but it might be one of those beautiful Tucson days, and we might be out on the patio
for
that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So... you obviously need signatures, but you also need contributions. As we know, the times that you ran for the State House and the times that I ran for mayor, one of the hardest things to do is to get people to, one, give you a signature, and secondly, to give you $10 or $20 or $100. And you're a little bit more fortunate. The local municipal offices have a cap on the amount that you can raise from an individual person. Yours is a little bit higher running for a countywide office.
Well, that's kind of a double-edged sword,
sir.
Because as a state candidate, I ran as a clean elections candidate, which meant I was seeking a number of small contributions to qualify for state funding. Mm-hmm. City of Tucson runs a quasi-clean election system as well, where you can qualify for funds, but no such thing exists at the county level. So every donation that someone makes is greatly, greatly appreciated, no matter what the amount is.
And as we know, that money goes to do some things. One is to obviously spread the word about the candidate, and whether that be signs on the corners or whether that be digital ads or TV ads or whatever it would be, the advertising component of it is really important, because when people are thinking about the Pima County Treasurer, that's not something they think about a lot, and not knowing who the candidate is pretty endemic in the just by nature of what the office is.
I think that's probably the biggest issue with lots and lots of local offices.
Right.
They are so important to how government operates and have the biggest impact
sure.
on your actual conditions, day-to-day conditions and pocketbook. But we spend all the time arguing about the politics at the national level.
Right.
And it's very difficult to break through that clutter. And in order to do it, you got to have a funded campaign.
It was interesting that on the statewide level this past election cycle, that the treasurer for the state of Arizona garnered the most votes of any candidate, including for governor and secretary of state and attorney general. The treasurer was the one that didn't have an undervote and actually accumulated the most votes of any candidate.
Makes me optimistic.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's a good thing. Well, that obviously means that voters in that particular case they have a what I would say is a trust, maybe perhaps, and if it's going well and the money's being handled well, then there's a pretty good chance of that incumbent being voted back in.
Yes, at the end of the day, when you're talking about the treasurer's office and some of the other elected administrative offices, it is encouraging to think that people are actually taking a look and saying, okay, it's the experience and qualifications of the person that matters,
right.
Not the,
it's
the
almost
fighting
like,
on social media.
It's almost like what we would do for magistrates and judges and so forth, that we have a list of 12 or 15 judges that come on the list, and most of them get voted back in fairly regularly. They were appointed by the governor or by however they get appointed by their group, and then they do a job and they do that administrative job well. It's almost the opposite of what you do in a regular campaign, where you vote against somebody if they get into the paper and it's been a problem or a challenge. And so these administrative jobs, like I wouldn't say that a court magistrate is necessarily an administrative job per se, but it's an elected official that they're not running for the office. They're being the voter is saying, okay, that person's done a good job. Let's retain them in their position. And so that's kind of what you'll be...
That's what I'll be asking the voters to do, yes.
Because you're the chief deputy now, so you are doing the job now and overseeing the management
yes.
of that office on a regular basis. Obviously, Beth is your boss, but she's delegated a lot of responsibility to you to learn the ropes and how to manage that big office.
Well, it's not such a big office, actually.
Yeah. Well, I meant the building.
Yes.
The building that...
And so that's the amazing thing about the office is and again, a lot of times people ask me about, all of the challenges, shall we say, that Pima County faces. We're the bank, right? Just like your bank does. We don't get to question your expenditures. We just get to cash the checks.
Right.
Right? But that being said, the treasurer's office manage, $2 billion on a daily basis. We only have a staff of 25, and our entire operating budget is on the order of $3 million for the entire year.
Right.
So, we are a small office with a huge impact on how efficiently the county runs.
All right, it's $2.1 billion in the budget for 2024-25, and probably will go up a little bit for the next cycle.
And that's just the county. That doesn't include all of the school districts, all of the fire districts, all of the water districts.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's why you have $2 billion on
deposit.
On deposit, because you've got all that going on. Well, that's great. Well, one of the things, Chris, of course, you're my nephew, and we appreciate all you've done for school districts and for the state as a state officer and now as a county official. But what most people talk to me about is the relationships that you've developed. And, you're not far left, far right. You're kind of right down the middle, and you have a great working relationship with both Democrats, Republicans, and independents. And why? Why aren't you out there as a really far right wing, person? Why are you running right down the middle?
Well, I'm usually, it ends up being I'm a little bit more conservative than people think that I am.
Right. Which is good.
Especially
when it comes to money, that's a good thing.
Well, it is, I think. When it comes to, constitutional and social issues, I'm pretty damn conservative.
Yeah.
But what motivated me to get into politics and the The focus of when I served in the legislature and the focus of my current position is to make government run efficiently.
That's
and
great.
So that's what I focus on. That's what I develop Absolutely. Relationships around. And that's what I make my commitment to keep focusing on.
Well, Chris, stick around and we'll have you in on the conversation with Josh here in just a minute. We'll be back after a word from our great sponsors with the second half of the show. This is KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk, and you are listening to Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley. With a Friday edition of Jump in Tucson. On Monday, we talk about wonder and talk about the good things happening at the University of Arizona. And this coming Monday, we'll be talking to Dr. Luigi Pecoraro, who is the Eller College of Management Executive Education Director. And we'll talk with our friend Dr. Mark Stegeman of the Eller College to discuss including civics in the undergraduate curriculum at the college level, which is something I'm pretty excited about. I think it's a neat idea. Chris Ackerley, the Chief Deputy Treasurer of Pima County, is still with us. Good morning again, Chris.
Good morning.
And our guest is Josh Felderin, who is with Giuseppe's Ristorante Italiano. Okay, that was pretty good, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that was really good.
Non posso parlare italiano molto bene.
There you go.
Well, welcome, Josh.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah. So I was reminiscing with you a little bit. I was introduced to you by our good friend Frank DeFazio from New York City, who transferred to Tucson with the Greyhound Park, and then was one of the four principals that started a Rito Racetrack. And God bless his soul. He passed away about 2 years ago, but he loved to go to your restaurant and drag me along with him and sit there in your beautiful surroundings and talk shop. So God bless Frank, and thank him for inviting me to go with him so I could meet you. And so let's talk a little bit about Josh and your experience.
Sure.
Rincon High School graduate and then off to the sporting world, and you had a chance meeting with Mr. Scordato, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, it all started with Joe Scordato. Honestly, he had a gym that he had opened up, and I just happened to walk in as a teenager, and it was a boxing gym. I met him. We became really good friends, so I treated him like almost like my second father.
Right.
You know, because you have to trust the guy for boxing.
right.
So we trained for a lot of years, and we competed a lot. We went to a lot of national competitions, and we did a lot of boxing together. And I ended up working for him because he owned the original Giuseppe's, which was Trattoria Giuseppe's, that was on Camino Principal in Sabino Canyon. That
Correct.
Was like...
I remember that. Yeah,
quite a few years ago. And I kept working for him, and he's the one that taught me how to box and cook and do everything. And I drug my brother along to come work with us.
Right. So when did you start over at the original Giuseppe's, which is at Oracle and Rudisill over in that area? When did you first get started over there?
Well, we opened that location in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
On March 1st of 2010. So it's been almost, 14 years,
coming
right?
up on an anniversary here in a couple
yes.
of weeks. Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is like you need another busy day after a Valentine's Day. You were packed out here on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And I want to thank everybody that did come out and support us. You know, maybe we have a lot of listeners that did come out. And I appreciate everybody that did that.
Well, you have a unique location there. It has a wonderful inside, and it's kind of up on a little hill, and you can, it's kind of in the back, you can see out a little bit, but you were able a few years ago to open up some seating on the patio as well, especially during COVID, that was important, but some seating on the patio. So what's your capacity there?
Well, we sit about 64 inside and another 62 or 3 out on the patio.
Well, that's a lot of people to service out of that small kitchen, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It is.
You start cooking some pasta back there. It's a lot of people to wait on in that given time. So you're a cook, but Izzy is also a cook. You don't do as much of it anymore as you used to, perhaps, probably. But tell us a little bit about both you and your brother's journey to cooking, and especially Italian food.
Sure. Well, like I said, we grew up with the Scordatos, you know. He pretty much taught me everything. He taught me and my brother how to cook from scratch. in his kitchens. And, you know, my brother ended up being with us there for a few years, and then he ventured off to try new restaurants, which he became a really good chef. I know that he was with the Hacienda del Sol group as an executive chef, and then he moved on to Sam Fox, you know, his concepts. And he was there for quite some time until then we decided to open up this location on Oracle. And a year after, you know, I went ahead and gave him the call to come and become our partner now with us, just because of his experience and everything that he is a great chef.
He is
a great chef.
Yeah, he's mostly at Eastside now, right? Most of the times?
Yeah. Yes, he's at our new location over there on 22nd and Harrison now.
Right, right. So at your location, certainly it's a family affair. It's you and your brother, but you were telling me that now you even have a young daughter that's helping you. She got her baptism on Valentine's Day. So
yes,
do you have some spouses and others involved from the family?
Yes, I do. My brother, honestly, has his young son. His son is working over there. He just graduated from high school, and he became our pizza chef over there. So
fantastic.
He's been there about almost a year now.
That's good. And the pizza's delicious, by the way.
Thank you. And now at my location, I just happened to get my daughter to start coming and help us because we were so busy. We were a little understaffed, but she came and saved us.
Yeah. Welcome to the family, and welcome.
That's right.
Now that you're 15, it's time for you to start working in the family business, right?
That's right.
That's great. Well, you're obviously, the focus there is the Italian food, and obviously with the Scortato family and the great tradition that they have had over the years of serving fine food in Tucson. That's probably the answer to my question, why Italian food? And it's probably because that's what you were exposed to. Right?
Exactly. That's what I was exposed to. It. That's all I cooked. I like the culture. I like the food. You know, I've always wanted to maybe at one of these days to relocate to Italy or live there and retire there one day.
And at both facilities, both restaurants, you do have a full bar, and but wine is a featured item, obviously, and Italian wines are obviously very important.
Correct. Everything, you know, our main focus is the wines, you know, try not to.
Who is your sommelier? Are you the one that's learned about the wines, or who's the one that kind of takes on that mantle?
Well, I'm usually the one that takes on that mantle because I try to go to... I read about it all the time. Mm-hmm. I taste wine all the time. I go to all the trade shows. I make sure I talk to all the vendors, even the farmers that come in, and the growers, the winemakers themselves, and try to learn as much as I can from them. That way I can put the best product out there at a really good price, honestly. Yeah.
So. Do you feature any wines from the Sonoyta region or Wilcox or any of the Southern Arizona wines, or is it mostly Italian and California and Napa and so forth?
We did a couple of Arizona wines, but they didn't work out as much as I wanted them to.
Right.
You know, it's just, they're brand new to the scene still. But mainly our focus is right now on a lot of Italian restaurant or Italian wines and some California wines that we do carry.
Right, right. And so as you have transition now, you're almost your 15th year, so your daughter was just a baby when you got started, probably, right?
Yes, yeah. She was 1 year old.
Yeah. So when you, how has the journey been? And obviously you had some challenges during COVID, but you switched over and started doing some pizzas, and that kind of helped you out a little bit. And so tell us a little bit about the journey of how it's been over the last dozen or so years.
Well, you know, it's like any other business. You have your ups and downs, you know, and it's been great, you know, a lot of long hours every day, you know, trying to make the time to hang out with family, friends, or, you know, it's been a bit tough, but, you know, it's been all worth it. You know, I got to meet a lot of great people in the community. Carrie Lake just came in the other day and she had dinner there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get to meet a lot of great people. I met you and I met, you know, Frank DeFazio and...
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great journey, honestly.
It is interesting how when you own a restaurant like that, especially one with the reputation of the type that you have, how many people do wander through your restaurant in the course of a decade of who the people are that show up there. And, you know, whether they be civic leaders or government officials like Chris or other people, but just like you say, just randomly someone will walk in and it's like, wow, I didn't know they were coming.
You know, Raul Grijalva comes in every once in a while. Right. We always say hi to him and, you know, but it is random when you see a lot of people coming in and then you recognize them right away, you know.
Right.
We did have, believe it or not, the Village people did come in one year. It was such a long time ago, but they came in. I was like, oh my God.
That's fantastic. The Village people. Boy, I haven't thought about them in a long time. Well, we'll take a little break here and we'll come back in a few minutes and wrap up our conversation. We're talking with Josh Velderain from Giuseppe's. We'll talk about the new restaurant when we come back, and we'll talk about what's on store for Josh and Izzy as we move into the 15th anniversary here. So, you're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM. Welcome back for the last segment here on Fridays, Success Fridays. We're talking with a couple of guys that are successful. We've got Chris Ackerley, who is running for Pima County Treasurer. He's currently the Chief Deputy Treasurer of Pima County. And why don't you give us that website again, Chris, and then we'll talk just briefly about the event Tuesday. Bless you.
Excuse me. Good morning. ChrisAckerley.com.
That's pretty easy.
That's pretty easy.
However, we do have to say that people misspell our name all the time.
There's an E at the end of it.
I even have a brother that has a diploma that's A-C-K-E-R-L-Y. It's actually A-C-K-E-R-L-E-Y.
The first time I got a library card, I misspelt it on my own library card, and Grandma would never let me forget it.
It was that way forever, huh?
Yeah.
And then you have an event coming up on Tuesday at 4:30 at Reforma.
4:30, St. Philip's Plaza at Reforma.
Great.
Kickoff event. Come by, say hi, ask some questions.
Great. A new venture for you. If you can become the Pima County Treasurer, that'll be a nice administrative job for you. So, Josh, Giuseppe's, what a great place. I've been to the Oracle Rudisill location many, many times. It's actually across the sidewalk from a good friend of ours who used to be in the radio business, who now owns a place, Cinderella Sees, and it's a boutique for wonderful clothing for women that then accessories and purses and so forth. She's been a good supporter of yours over the years, having fashion shows and all sorts of things. Yeah, she's great. But you opened up the East Side location 2 years ago at Broadway and Harrison, and you took over the old Garrett Steakhouse and refabbed the whole place. It's beautiful when you walk in there. Tell us a little bit about the new operation and relatively new operation and how that's going.
Well, we just opened up about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Everything seems to be going well right now over there. As soon as we opened, we got busy right away.
Right.
We had, like everybody else, you know, we had staffing problems.
Mm-hmm.
But now it seems that
That was at the tail end of COVID, right?
The tail end of COVID, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think we got it all together now. We have a good staff. You know, a lot of family members came and helped out. And now we got a great team over there with a lot of young kids that came in and really working hard now, and we're glad to teach them.
And you have a pizza oven over there that's really awesome, because you turn out some pretty awesome pizzas out of that location.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So tell us about why is that oven different from another oven? And it just seems to me like the pizza comes out different from other places that you go to.
Correct. You know, we have one of those wood brick oven pizzas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you the story about that. We had to go... we went to the Pizza Expo that was in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and we found the oven there, you know, and, you know, they're not easy to come because they have to build them and then ship them out, and then we have to put it in the building somehow.
Yeah.
They're humongous.
Have to knock the door down to get the pizza oven.
We had to knock the whole door off and windows and get it in there with a forklift and set it and then build around it.
Right.
But that oven actually cooks, it gets up to 700, 800 degrees.
Right.
And that's usually what you need for for the 00 flour to actually cook correct in there and really cook the pizzas correctly,
right.
Like a Neapolitan style pizza.
Right. Know. With a crispy crust and
absolutely.
And, you know, as Christy Simone says, almost burnt to the point of it's got to be really well done in order for it to be a Neapolitan crust.
With the little bubbles on it. And
yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. And so Izzy, your brother Izzy is over there, most of the time managing that kitchen. You're at Oracle.
Correct.
Any plans for the future, maybe down the line? You know, I know when you were thinking about opening on the East Side, we had that conversation for quite a while, and then And then boom.
It just happened.
You found that opportunity. Expansion, you know, do you think that you would get something else down the line, or do you think that two is good for you?
Well, it's been in the horizon. We talked about it a lot.
I think you even talked about opening just a pizza shop, too.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, we talked about just opening up a pizza place. We talked about doing it more down south where Sahuarita or Green Valley area.
Mm-hmm.
And
you do have a lot of guests that come up to the Oracle store from Green Valley.
From Green Valley, yes, we do.
So you got to take that into consideration. That cannibalizes a little bit of that that customer base that you currently have. Correct. That travels up Oracle Road to come to you. But if you put one down in their area, you'd have to build out your customer base up here on the Oracle Road store.
Or maybe we'll get the people from Nogales to come all the way up there.
Yeah. Oh, you probably would. You probably would once they figure out the food's delicious. So
yes.
What's your favorite thing to make? If you're back in the kitchen, what did the Scordato family teach you? What is your favorite thing to make back?
The best thing that I like to make when I make it and then I'll make one for myself is the lamb ossobuco. That's been one of the staples on there. I run it as a special all the time. I know Chris comes in from your station,
right,
and he loves that, and I bring it to him every one I have a sit down with him. But the lamb is actually one of the best things that I can cook in that kitchen.
Right.
It takes a little bit of time. It takes about 4 hours to get it all done.
Wow.
But once it's done, it's the meat's just falling off the bone. And
is that something you have on a regular, or is that a special, just only occasionally?
Yeah. Well, I was running it as specials, you know, but it became so popular that I have to have it on hand all the time because we sell out all the time.
Yeah. What is top two or three dishes that you serve every day that you know that you're going to serve quite a few of this dish? And
sure.
I can imagine what they are, but because I probably get them myself.
Well, yeah. One of them is the eggplant parmesan. Amen. Your favorite.
That is my favorite. I am an eggplant parmesan addict, I have to say, and you do a fantastic job of that. Yeah, it's great. So
we do everything in-house. You know, we make the sausage in-house and meatballs. So those two items right there, we sell out all the time.
Right, right. And then Frank always ordered a salad. You have a special salad there. I'm not sure exactly what was in it, but he always ordered a special salad that you would make for him.
Sure.
What was in that? I don't actually remember what it was, but I know that it was very particular. You had to have this particular salad.
Well, Frank was, as we all know, he was vegan.
Right.
So we had to make his salads very carefully with no oils in it or anything like that. So,
so
we would make a special dressing for him and add certain items in there, you know.
Yeah, you know, Frank DeFazio, the great great New Yorker that he was, and he was the consummate. I would go see him on Sunday mornings after I'd go to church, and then I'd stop by his house in his later years and spend an hour or two with him.
Sure.
And I would show up, and he'd be dressed to the nines.
All the time.
He wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going to go outside the house. He wasn't even going to go out and pick up the paper from outside, but he'd be dressed in his Sunday best, and it was pretty amazing. So, I just want to thank you both for being here. Thank you, Chris.
Good luck
with you on your run and your Tuesday event. And Josh, we'll see you at Giuseppe's, at Oracle and Rudisill, and at 22nd Street and Harrison. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And good luck to you and your brother. You've been listening to Jump in Tucson. I'll see you on Monday for the U of A Wonder segment. And have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.